The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Playoff Roundtable, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer.
For quite a few road games this year, this was your Suns broadcast team, and now they're in a Western Conference Finals Suns Roundtable, live in the Auction Community Studios. It's Doug and Wolf with Tim Kempton and Bloomer, Dr. Energy. TK, I've never asked you this in all your life. What was your nickname as a player? Red or Big Man? Somebody had to have a nickname for you.
The only time I really had a nickname was in Charlotte. With the expansion team, the Charlotte Hornets that year, they called me Dr. K.
Nice.
Dr. K?
You don't look like Doc Gooden.
There were a couple of times that I got the rebound and just didn't give it up. Took it the whole way.
I like Red, though. That is good right there, Red.
And the good thing about it, we still got the highlights, so you can go back and check it out.
Google it. Play your player.
Got to remember, when you're an expansion team, you are just grabbing at anything to make a headline. So, you know, they even have me go to the hospital, dress up in a doctor's outfit, put it on the front page of the Charlotte Observer.
Player. All these years, and I never knew. All right. How you feeling? I mean, how you feeling about Dr. Energy? What? I don't even want to ask you a question. Bring it. What's on your mind? Here we go.
Well, let's see. Last night, I took my 12-year-old to a movie for the first time in a year and a half, and we went and saw Cruella, which is starring the wonderful Phoenician Emma Stone. And to me, she channeled her inner Devin Booker with her performance last night absolutely dominated that flick. And if there's anybody listening who went to Xavier Prep for the one semester she went to with her, or if you know Emma's family, reach out. We need her in this gym. Emma Stone dominated as Cruella. And I know you guys are thinking this is a Disney movie. This was the coolest soundtrack of any Disney movie I've ever seen. I don't love going to movies that I know are geared towards, you know, my daughter and other people like that. Normally, I was dialed into this, and it's not just because she's a Phoenix Suns fan. If you haven't seen the actual footage of her on Ellen, you know, the Ellen show, she came out as a Suns fan on the Ellen show with Ellen being disappointed because it was during the Lakers series, and Ellen, you know, is an outward Lakers fan. So that went back and forth, and I was so proud of Emma Stone, and I've been proud of her work in films before. But last night, it took it to another level. It was like Book in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. TK, how fun was that to watch what he did, how he dominated, how he took control of that game, and got this team the 1-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals.
Is this sports talk radio, or is this pop culture? I'm a little confused right now.
Cruella.
It's a combination.
Bloomer, you have no idea how happy I am that the first insult from Tim Kempton was to you and not me.
He brings it all the time. That's how we roll. That is a big change.
But I'll throw you the exact same question without the Emma Stone lead in.
Yeah, none of that.
How fun has it been?
Yeah, no, it's been – I mean, it's so fun because – Not only that they're winning, the way they're winning, obviously, you know, being back in Phoenix and going shopping and getting gas and all the people that are engaged now, that's the fun part is to see the city wrap their arms around the Phoenix Suns again. And going back to Bloomer a little bit with Devin Booker, go back when Devin Booker said, I'm not going anywhere. Guys are going to come here to play with me. And kind of coming to fruition. Chris Paul's here. Jay Crowder is here because of him. Obviously, the 8-0 and Monty Williams and a lot of other things. But this doesn't happen without the grit and determination of Devin Booker.
It's just incredible. It's a beautiful thing to see. I'm such a big believer in culture, guys. I am. I'm sorry. The context in which you do everything. And this is what we do around here. This is how we do it. And this is what we're going to expect from you. I think it gives everybody, not only your superstars, the opportunity to model that culture on a daily basis, but it gives everybody a clear path of how you're supposed to get better and work on your game. I think it's one of the most underrated parts of any team. I don't care if you're talking basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is, the context in which you perform, the culture matters, and I love this team's culture.
And Ron, you can go to game one and just sit there. John and I were sitting there in the booth, you know, getting ready for it. Are you worried? No, I'm not worried. Chris Cameron Payne's going to come up and be Cameron Payne. And I thought that was what was so special. Cameron Payne doesn't try to be Chris Paul. He's good enough. And just like you said, the culture around him, Etuan Moore, you know, we'll probably see more of him, maybe some Javon Carter. But just like you said, the culture is there. People can say what they want. If you have Clippers fans out there, if anybody over in L.A. is listening to this, it's just too bad. Our culture, as you said, Ron, is too
yes.
good. The depth is too good. There's no leaks in this ship at all.
Yeah, you know, when you brought up campaign, he's a CP of a different sort, isn't he, right there?
Totally. Oh, no.
You know, when I'm writing my shorthand, I always, you know, put CP for Chris Paul when he gets an assist in a little parentheses next to the bucket. You probably see me scratching it down in front of you. Well, you know, now it's Cameron Payne, so I could do it because there's only one of them. But usually I got to put an extra few letters when I write Payne down when he gets the assist. By the way, at halftime, just a little more inside pool here. Halftime, we take off the headsets. You know, I finished doing the few minutes of an update, and then we got a minute or two before they go back on the air, and Tim looks at me and goes, what do you think? And I'm like, Boogie Cousins is not going to give you 11 points in 5 minutes again. That's smoke and mirrors, right? Isn't that what I told
you? Exactly, word for
word.
Smoke
and mirrors.
I don't know if it's smoke and mirrors if he's up against Dario.
Well, it did look like
that was a matchup he owned.
A little
right
lopsided,
there.
Yeah, it did. And he felt good
Here's the thing. As soon as DeAndre Ayton comes back on the court, they don't go to him anymore. They don't even incorporate him in the offense. They sub him out because they know it's a losing battle.
Absolutely. That's going to culture, going to Dario. The one thing that is amazing when you mention culture of this team is I don't think Paul George can single-handedly beat the Suns four of the next six games. So then it becomes a battle of everyone else. So if you say Paul George is and he cancels out Devin Booker, Booker cancels him, whatever, even though I think we all agree Devin Booker's better right now at this point in their career. But when you line up the guys next to each other, the rest of this roster, without Kawhi Leonard, it's a mismatch. Now, I don't want the Suns to think like that, but since we're in a Suns roundtable, we can talk about it. How deep this Suns team, because you just mentioned we might see some Javon Carter, Tim. When's the last time we saw him? And yet we know he can play.
Yeah, and we know he's going to be ready to play. As a matter of fact, after game one, Javon Carter came back out and got his shot routine in after the game, which he does routinely now. There's no worry in Monty Williams. No, okay, I haven't played him in 3 weeks. I haven't played him in 3 months, but I know he's ready. I know he's going to come out here and perform. And I think not only does Monty Williams know that, but everyone in that locker room knows that. The two guys sitting to his, you know, one guy left and right, the guy sitting across from the locker room. There's a lot of trust in each other in that locker room.
And not only
Arizona sports.
Wow. Oh,
breaking
wow.
news.
That sounder means Bloomer, be quiet. Maloney's got something.
So Sham Sharania is reporting that Phoenix Suns all-star guard Chris Paul plans to commit to Team USA for the Tokyo Summer Olympics.
How about that now?
Devin Booker also has that plan. That means we've got CP3 and D-Book representing America in Tokyo.
Wow.
Man, I love that.
I do put country over team. And I love that they're doing it. Now, you do have to accept, we would love these guys to get some rest after a long time. So I want to say I'm glad they're playing, but, man, stay healthy. Here we go.
Well, D-Book is young. He's still okay.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, wow, what's going on, CP, right there?
That is really, really cool.
And that was reported from Phoenix because we saw him in the building the other night, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
So that's straight from Phoenix.
Here, yeah.
That's what's really cool about that you're going to be able to sit back and watch Olympic basketball and see two Suns on the team.
That's awesome, man.
And,
it's also pretty cool for the United States of America to know they're going to have that backcourt playing for them. I'm just going to say. Like, I mean, right now, if you're watching the way these guys have played together all season, that's a pretty good combo to bring out against the rest of the world.
That's
I think
true.
The rest of the world doesn't necessarily share that same excitement. But
I didn't think
of
that. Argentina just said, oh. They just started going crazy. By the way, I got too excited on the cussing beep and started hitting.
Was that Campazzo? Was that Paku?
Campazzo, exactly.
Well, he didn't hear it. He was flopping.
Stop it.
Coming up next, for the first time, Robert Sarver said something and all of us went, yeah! That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Acting.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns playoff roundtable brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
Keep listening. Between now and 9:45, we're going to announce the name in the hottest ticket game day giveaway. But you have to text the word ticket to 620-620 to have a chance to head to the games. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf with our Western Conference Finals Roundtable, in which broadcasters for the Suns, Tim Kempton and John Bloom, are live in studio with us to talk all Suns all the time. And there was something that I don't know if you guys have had a chance to hear it, but really got me kind of excited. It started with Magic Johnson on First Take yesterday, because to bring up something frustrating, because this always happens this time of year, where the subject matter becomes upstart teams, how are we going to pick people off? And the subject is, it's Kentucky East for the New York Knicks. Everybody with the Knicks is either associated with Kentucky or represented Devin Booker at some point. And so you've got that going, those rumors going on there. And Chris Paul to the Lakers.
I would tell Jeannie, I would add some money to get CP3, you know, because it'll be perfect for LeBron. It would be perfect for AD and be perfect for the role players. He makes the game so easy, and you're going to get shots that you've never gotten before.
And if I'm a Suns
fan, I ask something real quick?
Go ahead. Of course.
I love it, Timmy, the look on your face right now.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yes, be careful.
Who the hell wants to go to L.A.? You're assuming that Chris Paul wants to leave Phoenix and Devin Booker and go play with a bunch of clowns in friggin' L.A. and spend $50 million of that money that he's going to get in taxes and have to walk around with a face mask until, you know, the next 20 years. Magic, it isn't all that. It's not that nice. You're not the L.A. Lakers of old.
I like that, Timmy. That was good right there. A little ramble.
Although, you make some extremely valid points. There's also his family lives there, and his best friend is LeBron. So I do
think... Wait a second. His best friend is LeBron. You go back to the banana boat. How many times has Chris Paul been involved in a banana boat foursome? When has LeBron James ever reached out to Chris Paul to get him to come and play with him?
You're right. Now, I'm not the one you have to convince. I think Chris Paul is staying. But the thing that was said on CNBC Power Lunch yesterday that got me really jacked up.
$44 million is that going to be worth the price, Robert? I'm curious how you would make a decision like that for keeping someone like Chris Paul.
That's not a hard decision.
It's good to be in a position where you can say that's not a hard, decision.
I know those numbers are kind of hard to fathom, you know, for the general public. For me, he's been worth every penny of it.
It's Chris's option. It's not the team option.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He's got a player option, and I totally believe he's going to opt out. And that's going to scare everybody to death. But right. I think he's going to opt out in order to opt, in a sense, back in and sign. Why opt into a $44 million option, although that's pretty good, when you could easily get the Suns to give you 3 years and maybe 80? You know? I mean, you got to start extremely high because the guy is turning down $44 million next year.
I thought it was 45.
Yeah, but it might be. It was 40. But I just love hearing Robert Sarver saying,
"Let's pay over pennies for
Robert." Yeah,
exactly. Listen, exactly. Timmy, I'm just saying.
And it goes to exactly, TK, everything you're saying. This guy, hasn't he dreamed his whole career to have players surround him that are willing to work as hard as him, but not be whiners? Not be guys that are like the Blake Griffins of the world that, oh, I'm not getting enough attention. I've got this problem. I've got this drama. He's got everything he wants, a relationship with the head coach, and he's still only a 40-minute flight from home. Even if he never dreamed of being a Phoenix Sun, this situation is what he's always wanted. I don't see him going anywhere else. Yeah, do I make sense?
I agree, and I think you could look at it a couple different ways. With the relationship with LeBron James, you know, think about it in your whatever walk of life you're in, as you're driving to work right now, or you're hanging out at your house, or dealing with, you know, your family, and you think about working with your best friend. You know, it might seem like a great idea, but, you know, it might also be better just to keep that dude as your best friend and go work with people that you can control, because, you know, your best friend you can't control. That guy wants control even more than you want control, potentially. And so this is the case, I think, with like a Chris Paul and a LeBron James. Do you agree with that?
No, 100%. I mean, you look at it, LeBron James, you know, people think, oh, not everybody wants to play with LeBron James. You travel on his schedule. You eat what he wants to eat in a locker room. You are looked down upon if things don't go his way.
He can trade you.
Yeah, he can trade.
He can fire you.
It's not all fun playing with LeBron James. He's very, very self-centered, and it's no fun, especially when, as you mentioned, Chris Paul is the guy that everybody's talking about. Yes, we have Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, but Chris Paul is in the talk with those three. He goes to L.A., he automatically is under LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and it's like, you know, oh, what? And he's not going to have that freedom. Yep. How many times have we seen LeBron take the ball and just bring it up and not include anybody in the game?
Well, how do you think he feels personally? I'm talking about Chris Paul here, right? I mean, you guys are on the floor, so to speak. Literally on the floor.
Wait
You're
a second. We have to address that. We haven't been on the floor in quite some time. We are in a suite.
So wait a minute. Are you
You've never seen
right
Chris
now,
Paul on the floor, have you?
I have not met him in person.
I have not met him in person.
Are you telling
me
that you don't get the opportunity to walk around the floor before the game and run into people that are actually tapped in? Are you telling me that?
There is this,
you do that, not talk.
The season started in a pandemic.
Well, I understand that. We're not in it anymore.
That's a great point, Ron Wolfley.
You guys have to be hearing something, correct?
On Zoom calls. That's how we hear things.
Yes.
Yeah, just like you guys. So we get to tap into the Zooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what are you doing? Are you telling me you're walking around with a mask on? You're double masking it, aren't you?
No.
You're double masking it, Tim Captain.
John and I go to our suite and we shut the door and we quarantine ourselves and we wave at everybody that looks in at us out of the fishbowl.
Oh, my goodness.
I was at game
one.
Well,
we got Al and Walt, too. Let's not leave them out of the picture. Yeah, they're in there, too. There's four of us.
I was at game one of the Western Conference
and
Finals.
Chris Paul comes down with COVID?
And I had
we
I
didn't
had
give it to him.
No,
we
didn't give it. I can guarantee you, we didn't give it to him.
Thank you for that.
Oh, I bet you did.
So we cleared two people right now. Wolf, I was at Western Conference Finals Game One, and NBA security came up to me and said, "Will you please put your mask on?"
Yeah,
I literally had it off. I think, and I'm not blasting anybody. That's their job. That's what the NBA. That's the world the NBA lives in.
Yeah.
But I think I had it off for 2.5 minutes, and I had just had a drink of water 90 seconds ago.
I might get arrested
tonight. Now that the buildings are full, you don't have to worry about that. They don't have enough people to chase around everybody that's not wearing a mask.
I can get that. But the point is,
I might be arrested tonight, Timmy.
How good we feel about Chris Paul and being immune to the rumors that already start once you start playing this well. And then there's this his connection with Monty. I mean, I don't know how real it was at the beginning of the year, and I mean that meaning me personally. They knew how real it was, but I meant I wasn't sure because there was always talk of a difficult friction when they were in New Orleans. And it became so apparent, unfortunately, with every Zoom call, but more when you watch the games and you see their interaction during the games and you could tell that thing runs deep.
Well,
I don't see a Chris Paul Frank Vogel friendship.
The thing about it is, you know, with Chris Paul, first of all, he is a communicator. He is going to talk to you and he's going to tell you. And sometimes it's not all smiles and giggles when you're communicating, especially in a game when you're competing. So, you know, people from afar see him and Monty maybe having a discussion and it may get heated, but it's a discussion of respect and trying to achieve a certain point. So if you see him from afar, sometimes you think, oh, No, he's trying to get his point across, and they're in the heat of a game and competition, and sometimes it just doesn't look good. But I agree with you. I don't – the relationship with Monty Williams and Chris Paul, I think, is a huge factor.
And I think when they were young, when they were young coach and young point guard, they didn't manage maybe those things as well, and they both talked about that.
Yes.
I mean, we have listened to them in their Zoom calls talk about their relationship maturing. But Chris Paul always talks about Monty being at his wedding. He always talks about how deep this relationship is and how much love there is for his head coach. And I do think that is an impact in this whole thing.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know if you get the same out of Chris Paul if you don't have Monty Williams. And there's not a lot talked about when it comes to that relationship. But I think it's becoming clearer, as you said, much clearer as the year's gone on.
Shazam!
Oh!
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The hottest ticket in town game day giveaway.
That's the sounder, and that means we announce a name for the 9 o'clock hour winner. If your name is Stephen Flores from Phoenix, you are officially on the clock.
602-260-9870.
It's only for Stephen Flores. So all of you that might be trying to flood the phone lines now, you can't win. You can only win if your name is Stephen Flores, and we know the questions to ask Stephen so he can prove himself a winner. However, if Stephen Flores does not call in the next 10 minutes, you can still steal Stephen's tickets. That's a little hard for me. I need a professional like John Bloom to say that. Steal Stephen's tickets.
Still. Steal.
Yeah.
Stephen's.
That'll John, still be available.
John Bloom, it's a good thing you and I are in here because Doug Franz over there, he was pushing everything to the west side. He was going down the list.
We did have Tolleson and Glendale today.
But he was trying to flood the west side with Suns tickets.
The computer tried to suck up to the two of you, and we just went with Phoenix. We'll see if Stephen calls. If he doesn't, listen in the next beautiful part of the program. You can steal it. And you're going to want to listen, too, because I guarantee you we're going to say one name, and Tim Kempton will go off. Not on that person. On us. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Playoff Roundtable, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
Your Western Conference Finals Roundtable has Suns broadcasters John Bloom and Tim Kempton with us in the Auction Community Studios. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf. Keep listening. And coming up in about 3 minutes, we might have an announcement to make that's kind of important for a lot of you. I'll just kind of leave that hang there. But coming up in about 3 minutes, but I implore you, don't call because we just hang up on you if you call in and try to jump the gun. Because we don't want that.
Yeah,
this is not right.
What are we doing?
This is not right. So the Western Conference Finals, Game 2, is about to happen. And it is time for, as we call it on the show, the recantation bells. And the recantation bells are for when
you don't have enough time to recant for all the mistakes you've made DeAndre Ayton.
We were talking about you, Tim Kempton.
Oh, my goodness.
We were talking about you.
Still on the DeAndre Ayton thing.
Because the topic is DeAndre Ayton, but we were talking about Tim Kempton recanting. And now, here is why. I don't understand why you don't look at the two of us and say,
Timmy.
Boy, you were right. We believe in DeAndre Ayton. I actually said before the draft, I think there's a chance he could be the next Olajuwon. Okay? Now, I think there's
Do we have that on tape? I don't believe that,
I think there's that much talent. However, after I saw so many issues of focus, I dropped the hammer on him. That doesn't mean I don't love the kid and think he's going to be great. Drop the hammer. And this year, guess what the Suns did? Monty Williams dropped the hammer. Devin was dropping the hammer. Chris Paul was dropping the hammer. And look what we've got. We've got a dream center for the Phoenix Suns. There's my speech, Tim Kempton.
First of all, I'm
Do
not
you
recanting.
Accept dropping the hammer was a great thing?
Well, first of all, you talking about dropping the hammer. He finally got pretty darn good coaching. Got to remember, DeAndre's not very experienced in basketball.
Very fair.
Started very late. Then DeAndre Ayton, up until the point that he walked on an NBA court, was the biggest, baddest, strongest, quickest, fastest, tallest athlete on the floor and never knew what it meant to work. It was very, very easy for him.
Yes!
He was never, there was no competition for him. So you walk onto an NBA court and all you have is your experience. Oh, I'm just going to walk out here and I'm going to take over.
So we agree then. So why are we disagreeing about the path to get there?
I'm telling you where he was.
He's right? Explaining the career arc.
Exactly. And you have to give him that chance to get better. And one thing that he has done is he's gotten better. He's taken coaching every year. And it's not an overnight thing. It just doesn't happen that quick. How many times do we talk, especially with big men? First of all, they don't have the ball in their hands enough. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about DeAndre Ayton scoring 8 points. Well, he probably got 3 touches that night. So 8 points is phenomenal. He doesn't touch the ball. So you're never in the flow of things as quickly as, like, say, a Luka Doncic who comes on the floor.
I'm speaking philosophically.
Wolf, I have to be rude for just a second.
What?
You'll get the chance for your rebuttal after we give away tickets.
Go!
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The hottest ticket in town game day giveaway.
Steven did not call, so who wants to go see game two? John Bloom will give you the number of what caller?
7.
Caller number 7 right now.
602-260-9870.
If you are caller number 7 is 602-260-9870, you are going to game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. If you are not caller number 7, you'll still have another chance to win with Bickley and Murata. And now, Wolf gets to talk.
Party people!
Oh! Yeah.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hands in the air. Tag team right here. What is this called, Douglas?
What do you mean, tag team? Or?
Wolf. There it is.
Oh, yeah, this just in, Wolf.
Okay, listen, ladies and gentlemen.
They're actually yelling Wolf. There it is.
My problem with DeAndre Ayton right now is not a problem whatsoever. My problem was with DeAndre Ayton that nobody wanted to raise the bar for DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton is the most talented human being, I think, whenever he steps onto the floor. I don't think there's a human being that's more talented than DeAndre Ayton when he steps in between those lines. Because of that, I will never lower the bar of expectation for him, ever. It's more of a philosophical question than it is anything else. Never lower the bar. Always raise the bar for DeAndre Ayton. You've got a guy that talented, he might not even know where his ceiling is. He's got to see it himself. So you know what you do? You raise it. You don't lower the bar of expectation for him.
And here's the thing I don't understand. No, Tim Kempton is nodding in agreement, yet look at my phone and the text I get from you when we're saying, D.A., what happened? Dunk the ball.
Philosophically. Okay, when you have a baby, do you automatically put those expectations of him, the same expectations when he's 20 years old?
A baby?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay, DeAndre Ayton's a baby in the NBA in his basketball career. Raise the bar periodically. Just don't take it and put it at 20 feet when all he's played is a certain amount of games and experienced so much.
There's no denying the fact, and I know you know this, there's no denying the fact that this team collectively has come around DeAndre Ayton to
without
do
a
one
doubt.
Thing. Raise the bar!
I get that. I get that, but what I'm saying is what I always had a problem with Doug. He took it from 2 feet to 20 feet. He didn't let him jump over 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, 7 feet. You got to give the kid time to.
There's no way that's the only problem you have with me.
And experience things to raise the bar again.
And maybe the worst thing that ever happened to him was he was coached by a coach who said, "We don't coach effort."
Yeah, that was.
Maybe that was one of the worst things ever.
And maybe the best thing that ever happened to him was getting suspended 25 games, getting put in his place, being humbled before he even met Chris Paul as a teammate, right? And now he knows, not only do I need to be a sponge to my coaches, but I better be a sponge to the best player in the room, to the guy that's been there and done that. It's carried teams to the top of the mountain before. Maybe not to the top of the mountain, but he's carried every team he's played on to winning more than losing. And he learned that, and he started to listen more, and he grew up a little bit, and he still has growing up to do and significant growth to do, which is tantalizing
it
for
is.
This fan
so
base.
In a sense, we've always agreed, just not on how to get there. Because for me, it's always been, there's nothing wrong with expecting more. And I always thought you were against expecting more. Like, you weren't like, I did not understand this from UTK, and I admit this is unfair to you because I got 30 seconds and I'm about ready to throw it to you. But when he's not dunking,
rip him, Dougley.
And he was doing these cheese ball little layups and not being aggressive, and I would demand aggression, and you would text me and say, get off his back. I'm like, wait, how am I wrong? Why should he have not dunked on that play?
Ron Wolfley.
Yes.
Ron Wolfley.
Yes.
You and I have played a sport where, yeah, we have goals and aspirations and expectations and things we want to do.
I will fight you to the ground.
Thank you. What's the problem? There's another man just as big and strong opposite you trying to stop you from dunking the ball on every play. So a nice little jump hook is
but if
a
you
nice
start
little
with
move.
The mindset, I'm going to try a layup, and you don't even start with the dunk.
Now you're in his head. You know what he's thinking.
I can tell by the layup. Come on. And you'll know this. There were sometimes there was no one standing behind him and he didn't dunk.
All right, you guys, you made us late.
Yeah, yes, we did. But, you know, Tim Kempton, by the way, for those of you who don't know, TK and I are good friends and we go like this all through the show.
That's the way it should be.
Whenever you hear Wolf talking for 15 straight minutes, Tim Kempton and I are arguing through text. Okay?
What a piece of me.
That's what's really going on the show. You might not have ever known that. Congratulations to Clark. Clark Noel or Noel? Do you know which one? Well, Clark, congratulations. Clark was our winner. He's got two tickets to see tonight's game. If you want to be a winner, text ticket to 620-620 and listen coming up next to Bickley and Murata for your chance to be a winner. Coming up next, two predictions. The winner of game two and why they're going to win. What's going to happen tonight to lead one team to victory? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Playoff Roundtable, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
Okay, some Clippers fan is going to get upset about prediction number one, I'm assuming, and throw out labels, but I'll just tell you, Mr. Clippers fan, whoever you are, if you can't tell by the things I say on the show, I like being right a lot more than I like being liked because nobody likes me. So I don't care what you think, Clippers fan. But are we all on the same page? Anybody seriously picking the Clippers tonight?
No.
Nope. No? Okay. Wolf?
No.
Okay. And I wasn't like bullying you into the courtroom or
no,
anything.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'd rather be fair than right, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I think you can do both. I look at, since we all agree that the Suns win, but we realize it's a prediction, and we also, all four of us know, the Clippers have been down 0-2 in the first two, so it doesn't mean the series is over by winning tonight. But now the bigger prediction. Why? What do you predict happens tonight that leads to a Suns victory? John Bloom.
Well, because you know me, I'm gonna go outside the box. Start there. Maybe somebody will take it inside, but I'm keeping it outside the box. I think Suns fans.
Emma Stone.
No, we're not going back to Cruella. But thank you for reminding me. That was fantastic. No, I think Suns fans already win because we're getting hyped up to watch Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals instead of the NBA Draft Lottery.
Yes!
Isn't that amazing?
That is my number one point
ding,
tonight.
Ding, 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 ding.
Because for every year, we've been getting hyped up for these ping pong balls, and now you don't even need to
get
watch.
Hyped up for an actual game. It is legendarily different on that. TK, why do you think what's going to be the determining factor in a Suns win tonight?
DeAndre Ayton. I mean, Tyronn Lue really showed me something in that Utah series when he went small and just absolutely negated the so-called defensive player of the year, and they won four straight by playing that small lineup. Rudy Gobert wanted no part of it. Utah stayed with their analytics and their numbers and keeping them on the floor. They shot 43%. You know, so DeAndre Ayton, what he does, if you try to go small, DeAndre Ayton could go on the floor and guard Marcus Morris, and he doesn't get open threes. But then, like he did the first two possessions the other night in the opening game, he gets an offensive rebound put back because there's a small guy on him. Second possession, they throw it down to him in the low post, and he gets a layup. Then, yes, we talked about DeMarcus Cousins scoring 11 points in 5 minutes. That was with Dario Saric. So what did Monty do? He brought DeAndre Ayton back in, and we didn't see another post up.
We just saw Cousins foul out then.
DeMarcus Cousins for the rest of the game. So
yeah.
DeMarcus negates all, not DeMarcus, DeAndre negates all the changes that Tyronn Lue has come up with, and I don't think there's any more changes dramatically like that. Go from a small lineup to a big lineup, and because you're not taking DeAndre Ayton off the floor.
I'm with you, because if he runs, makes his rim runs like that and attacks the rim off the screen roll, that opens the whole court up for D-Book when he's attacking
more,
like that.
It's more
that.
On the defensive end.
I know.
It's more
I'm
on
talking
the defensive
both. Yeah,
because
I love
he's done
that.
He's done that all year. Mm-hmm. What he takes, Tyronn Lue out of that situation of, okay, this is what I'm going to do to try to counter out that. I mean, DeAndre runs the floor every night.
Yeah. But now he's catching the ball.
For
so
me,
that's
honestly,
great.
That's the reason why I think the Suns are going to win tonight, is the defensive end of the floor right now. I think they are the better team defensively. I think I look at the first quarter and the last quarter. The first quarter, how you start when the Suns were locked in, they gave up 21 points to the Clippers. The fourth quarter, when they had to lock it down, and they knew it, and they've done this before. We've seen this before, especially in the postseason. Lock it down on the defensive end in the fourth quarter, gave up another 21 points.
And Paul George only had 2 points in the fourth quarter.
Exactly right. So to me, I look at this once again. This is the most beautiful thing about the Suns. They have talent. They have teamwork. There's no doubt about it. They've got the team. They've got the talent. But, man, they got the toughness as well. And it comes and it shows up on the defensive end of the floor. It's just like D-Book once said. You know what? We can always go back to our base. We can always go back to our baseline, and that is defense, and play defense. And that is the difference with this team, and it's one of the reasons why I believe they're the best team left in this playoff.
That's by far.
I think so, too.
Well, and I'm curious to see, okay, Wolf, this is I'm gonna give you the football analogy, and then TK, I'm curious to hear what you think T. Lou is going to do to counter this. The Suns,
you're going to be able to do all that in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, I am. The Suns, in essence, ran that just ball down the throat of the Clippers, okay? If you took a football analogy with the high pick and roll, with DeAndre Ayton setting the pick and roll and Booker doing his thing, that was like running the ball down the throat of the other team without them having any answer.
Try to stop it.
So what do they do? What can Lou do to stop that? Because I just keep going to that with the Suns.
That's the thing. You do, because I don't think they can. I don't think they can. There's no person over there that he can bring in off the bench to change that. Because another thing that DeAndre Ayton has done really well, Doug Franz, is he doesn't slip screens.
Great screen.
He actually goes over and squares the guy up, puts his chest in the middle of his shoulder, and sets the screen so his guards can use it.
Most underrated part of his game, I think.
Very much
doesn't
so.
Set screens with his hands like Marcus Morris pushing off every time.
Thank you very much. By the way, NBA, you ought to look at that. Rudy Gobert said, you know who started it? You know who started
doing that?
Who started it?
Yeah.
Who? I don't know.
Boris Dion?
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan was the first one to do that. And it was like, how do they let him get away with it?
Yeah.
And of course, once he does it, everybody else picks
it's like
up.
Fundamental.
Wait, did he play for the San Antonio Sterns? I mean, of course they didn't call him.
But no, DeAndre Ayton, I think, you know, Devin Booker is Devin Booker. DeAndre Ayton just makes Tyronn Lue sit over there and scratch his head. And John Bloom, to answer your question, he's scratching his head. What do I do now? I went to the smaller lineup against Utah. Worked great.
Well, that's because Ty Lue is covering for Blatt.
Still one of the great quotes.
T. Lue did that by covering for Blatt.
ever. I've got about 40 seconds, but I don't have the history to know this, so I'm going to ask you, TK, because I'm just a college kid in Ohio at the time. The current Suns noise level, crowd, atmosphere – or 93, early 90s, and those playoff teams?
I think they're both.
Are they? Okay.
I'm not going to split hairs. The crowds have been phenomenal. They were unbelievable in that first experience, and they've been phenomenal in this second experience, especially having to ramp it up. When we started, it was only 5,000, so they had to really bring it.
Yeah.
Then they upped it up to a little bit more. But, yeah, this building, I mean, it's phenomenal. In the concourse at halftime, I mean, the noise in the concourse, people aren't just whispering, hey, yeah, great game.
Yeah.
There are people on the concourse just whipping it up.
Jay Williams, if you didn't hear earlier this morning, was live in studio and actually walked away and said, why didn't I play here?
Yeah, I heard that.
I mean,
and
how about that?
I also heard he wanted a beer, so I got to get there early today to buy Jay Will a beer.
That was fantastic. Okay, you guys are a part of this. Your biggest takeaway.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about the you.
Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to carolhasthebuyers.com. That's carolhasthebuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is that Tim Kempton has been agreeing with me for 2 years and just yelling about it and didn't even realize.
My takeaway is I got to get there early tonight to buy Jay Will a beer.
My takeaway is Doug Franz has no idea what I was telling him, so he just makes it sound like I was agreeing with him. He still has no idea about DeAndre Ayton.
Okay, the Phoenix Suns win tonight on the defensive end of the floor. Peace and strength.